This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
One of the easiest mistakes to make in a trial like this is to look at the defendant as they are today, not as who they were when the crime happened. Walk into that courtroom right now and you'll see Donna Adelson playing the part of a sweet cardigan-wearing grandmother. She looks frail. She looks ordinary. And maybe by the time you're reading this or listening to this or hearing this, she may be having, you know, someone pushing her with wheels on the chair that she's sitting in. And if you didn't know the backstory, you might even think, how could this woman possibly be behind something so dark? But the prosecution has a weapon that cuts through right through that act, Donna's own emails. The messages she sent to her daughter, Wendy, during the custody battle with Dan Markell don't just show frustration or family concern. They show manipulation. They show strategy. They show a woman pulling the strings, telling her grown daughter, a lawyer in her own right, how to act, what to say, how to threaten. They show money being gathered up for a $1 million move offer to get Dan to allow Wendy to relocate the kids. And when that didn't work, prosecutors say Donna pushed the other way. These emails matter because they reveal Donna behind the mask, the Donna behind so much. The matriarch who ran her family with an iron grip. The woman who inserted herself into every dispute, every negotiation, every fight, until it became about what she wanted, not about what was best for her daughter or her grandchildren. No. Because when you're the narcissist grandmother, that's an easy card to play. Oh, I'm just, when you hear the word, I'm just, run for your effing life. I'm telling you that to all of you young parents out there. When you start hearing the, I'm just excuses, that's not someone who's looking out for your kids. That's someone who's looking out for their own self-interest and their own needs and desires, and they don't give a shit about yours. I'm just. This isn't about the granddaughter dotting or doting on kids. This is about control. And here's where the psychology comes in. Jurors just don't see evidence. They see patterns. They hear the tones in those emails. They notice the uncomfortable. How uncomfortable Wendy was when asked in prior testimony if her mother was controlling. They see the through line, Donna calling the shots, everyone else bending. That's the image prosecutors want to burn into their minds. So let's talk about that side of Donna Adelson, not the courtroom performance, but the controlling voice in those emails. Bob Motta, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries, one of our contributors for many years. From a defense perspective, how devastating are those communications? And how do you fight against the prosecution using Donna's own words as to paint her as the architect of this whole conspiracy? Let's get into it.
And it was Wendy's attorney who filed the motion to quash it.
Yes.
So like that's significant, and it goes to exactly what you're saying. Love you. It goes to exactly what you're saying with respect to whether or not Wendy is going to testify and if she's going to be helpful to her mother.
Yeah.
From that, you know, you could take it a couple of ways. One, the way that you took it, mm-hmm. like, no, I'm not willing to do that. I might slip up.
Yeah.
You know, which is that thing. Or, you know, it could be that they just, you know, because what they said is that if they were to subpoena her, they being the defense, that she would just take the fifth.
Yeah.
Whole time. So, I mean, you can read a lot into that because the defense cannot give her immunity. That's not within their power. So when she gets up there, she's fully exposed.
Yeah.
So that's why the defense is like, no. We're not willing to do that. There's just too many like pratfalls. There's too many areas where Wendy can get caught up. If they get into the whole thing where Wendy just so happens to drive by the murder scene right at the time or right after the time, you know, Dan's shot and killed in his garage. And, you know, she's allegedly on her way to a liquor store. You know, I mean,
that's what makes it even more classic.
Dude, it's
you're going to the liquor store.
Yeah, it's I don't crazy,
blame her.
Crazy.
I mean, especially if she really truly has nothing to do with this. If she just has this crazy family and she like she suspects they might be capable of doing this, but doesn't really think they'd ever do it. And then finds out, oh, my God, they just did it. I think my stop would be the liquor store, too.
100%. And, dude, look, I don't know if you've read and you should. If you haven't, you should read the emails from Donna to Wendy during the litigation, during the custody fight for the kids. Like these emails from Donna to Wendy, and I have not seen, I don't know if they're public. Mm-hmm. I have not seen Wendy's responses, but like you really get a sense of who Donna was and just how much of a matriarch that ran that family with an iron fist really is. Like you, it's like it's her telling her this is what you need to do, that thing where you were talking about, you know, hey, it's time to put on your, that's exactly the shit that she was telling her in the email. She's like, you need to get up there and this is how you need to handle it. You need to go up there and threaten that we're going to, you know, I'm going to send the kids to Catholic school. You know, like all these manipulative things that she was trying to get to have Dan like pop off and put him in a position where, or have him settle, you know, and it also shows that we're gathering up a huge amount of money. We're looking to offer Dan $1 million to allow him or to have him allow the kids move down to us, you know? So it's like, you really see just the grasp that this woman had over her grown children who are, you know, you've got Charlie, who's a dentist, and you've got Wendy, who's an attorney, and you've got this mom that is just running shit.
Look at some of Wendy's testimony in the past where it's like, would you call your mom controlling? Well, I don't know. And it's like you're looking at like a 13-year-old girl there. I don't know if I call her that. Like, yeah, I guess. Right. Like it's some silly thing. Like you're ex-husband's dead. The father of your kids are dead. And you still can't quite see what the hell your mom is up to or like the type of woman that she seems to be. Take murder out of the equation. Just look at the kind of woman that she is, what she was wanting to do, how she was trying to manipulate people.
Right. Like
that in itself is quite spooky.
It's spooky and telling.
Yeah. Oh, very.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it really, really shines a light on just who Donna is. And they were fighting to keep those emails out. And believe me, they're coming in.
Yeah.
You know, because it really goes to the heart of the matter here. You know, in order to get a jury on a strictly circumstantial case to buy into this concept that this sweet old lady who's 75 years old sitting there in her cardigan and looking her hair a mess. Like
I know.
You know, it's like, dude, you know, it's
and
like,
answered
okay,
that today. We right, saw Donna like cardiganing it up and not the same Donna.
No, not the same Donna. And so they're going to bring this evidence in to say, okay, you know, this act, the shit that she's pulling right here in the courtroom, the sweet old grandmother thing, that ain't her.
Yeah.
This woman is, she is a ruthless gangster and she went to any means necessary to get her grandchild. Cause at the end of the day, Tony, this case really boils down to that this woman wanted to have her grandchildren within a stone's throw of her. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, because like the argument in terms of was Wendy involved against that concept is that, look, Wendy probably wanted to be as far away from her mother as humanly possible just because she's so up in her ass all the time.
Yeah.
Like she probably loved being 100, 300 miles away from her because that meant that she wasn't like so involved in her life. She's like, I'm a grown woman. I like my mom is just so like, just so involved that I just can't handle it anymore. So I don't know, man. It's a crazy, crazy case, you know, cause there's people out there that are just, dead set that there's no way that Wendy didn't know about this, and they fully expect that George is going to go sure. after her. And I read those emails for the first time, dude, I'm like, I could see a world in which this woman just was doing shit to get her way. And I'm talking about Donna.
Yeah, exactly. And I can, honestly, I just don't know the answer to the Wendy question. And that's why I don't go either way. Cause I just don't know. And until there's evidence to show the other way, I don't know. I can very much see exactly what you just said, where Wendy is just passive. That's how she was grown. That's how she grew up. That's how she had to be. Cause Donna was a star and Donna still wanted to get her way. And she still kind of felt this obligation of, well, I gotta kind of make her happy, you know? And at the same point, trying to be independent, and Donna was going to do what Donna was going to do, even if Wendy had objected to this or said, no, let's not kill the kid's dad.
Right.
I'm going to guess Donna was going to do what Donna was going to do. And it didn't make a damn bit of difference if, in fact, you know, Donna is behind this, obviously innocent till proven guilty.
Dude, look. When you think about the long game on this to show you just how short-sighted Donna was, mm-hmm. think about the concept of these kids who are now old enough to Google. They are old enough to understand what they're Googling.
They're high school kids.
This woman has ruined their lives.
Yeah.
They've destroyed the Adelson name. And by all accounts, this was an accomplished, educated, wealthy family that because of Donna's just absolute
narcissism,
desire
and
want to have those children near her, she did whatever she wanted to do to make that happen. And the kids were of no consequence. Because she had to have thought at some point, well, what happens if we get busted? Like that thought never entered her mind. What is that going to do to these kids that I'm so desperate to be around? How is that going to affect their lives moving forward?
Because it wasn't ever about the kids. It wasn't about the kids being, this is great. Be close to your family. And it was about Donna being happy, about that feeling for Donna. Not about, hey, let's drag Wendy from her life across the state. Hey, let's take the kids from their father. That's not a bad idea. It's also Donna. And this is where the case against Donna Adelson becomes more than circumstantial, because circumstantial evidence can be explained away, but a jury, reading Donna's own words, seeing her own instructions to Wendy, that's harder to spin. Emails don't get nervous on the stand. They don't fumble answers. They don't change their tone under cross-examination. They just sit there in black and white telling this story the prosecution wants to tell. What Bob made clear is that the defense has an uphill climb here. They can argue that Donna was just meddling. Just a meddling mother, not a murderer. They can claim she was trying to help Wendy in a custody battle, not orchestrate violence, but jurors will weigh that against a decade of patterns, against the control, against the money trail, against the fact that every other person in the chain has already been convicted. And when you frame it that way, Donna doesn't look like a grandmother caught in a crossfire. She looks like one holding the reins. It is her name on the checks. The broader picture is even darker, because this isn't just about Donna's action. It's about the effect of her control on her children. Charlie and Wendy weren't teenagers when being pushed around. They were adults, a dentist, and an attorney. And still, Donna's grip steered their choices. That tells you something about the force of personality and the damage one person's need for control can inflict across generations. So when prosecutors hold up those emails, they're not just proving motive, they're proving pattern. They're showing a family orbiting one person's desires, and the tragic fallout that comes from those desires crosses into criminal conspiracy. Coming up, we're going to turn the riskiest move yet in this trial, Donna's insistence on taking the stand. We're going to dive into that with Bob, against the advice of almost everyone. She wants to testify. And if history tells us anything, that choice could make or break this case. So let's talk about why defendants rarely testify and why Donna Adelson may be about to do it anyway. Press subscribe so you don't miss the conversation with Bob. It's coming up for you right here. No matter where you are listening, it's on podcast platforms or on YouTube. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski so you don't miss any of our conversations about this or any of the things we are discussing right here on the podcast. Be sure to press subscribe right now. Until next time, I'm Tony Brewski. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.